الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقل لعبادي يقولوا التي هي أحسن وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مقام الرجل بالصمت أفضل من عبادة 60 سنة صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, through His infinite mercy and grace, granted us countless bounties and gifts, many of which we take for granted, and the true value only dawns upon us after that gift has left us. Amongst these priceless and most valuable gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us is the power of speech, and this power of conversing and speaking with people and expressing ourselves. Imagine if a person cannot speak, he cannot express his feelings towards the people around him, his wife, his children, his subordinates, his workers, his friends. He cannot communicate with them, he cannot tell them what he wishes to express. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this gift of speech, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the power also to control this, to use it in a manner that is effective and beneficial, which will be a means of our salvation and our upliftment. And sometimes Allah Pak save us, if we abuse this, then we find that we sow the seeds of destruction for ourselves. Person who has good speech, sound speech, speaks in a proper manner, good things, is like pearls, or is like diamonds, or is like jewels, like flowers and petals that are raining on the person around him. And on the contrary, if he does not have good speech, is harsh in his speech, is vulgar, etc., then he's like shooting out bullets, so to say, or thorns that will prick the people around him. So this is a great gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a great ni'mat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us. Alam naj'al lahu aynayn wa lisana wa shafatayn. If we've not made for man 2 eyes and we've not given him a tongue and lips, this tongue is the means whereby we speak and express ourselves. And we were mentioning one of the signs of the people that are pious is that they do not abuse their tongues. They do not misuse their tongues. They do not use their tongues in a manner that will be destructive to them or that will be contrary to the commands of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's mentioned in the hadith, what we understand is in the morning, all the parts of the body come and plead before the tongue. And they say, in istaqamta istaqamna. When i'wajta i'wajna. If you remain correct and straight and upright, then all of us will remain correct and straight and upright. We will be saved. And if you go crooked and you falter and you deviate, then all of us will go crooked. In other words, you will be the one that will land us into problems. If you go straight, then all the other parts of the body are straight. How many times we find a person is being beaten, being arrested, etc., for words that he's spoken or things that he mentioned to somebody else, is a fight broke out because the tongue was abused and that person's feelings were hurt. Now the entire part of the body, he's being hit on the head and everywhere, up from the top to the bottom. So here, Rasulullah explains to us that they actually go and plead to the tongue. That you remain straight, we are all straight and safe and sound. And if you deter and go out from the go away, then from the right path and go crooked, then all of us will go crooked, all of us will be endangered. So this is the status of the tongue, that the safety and soundness of the body also depends on the tongue. It is mentioned that it is very small, size is very small of the tongue. If you related to the other parts of the body, a very, very small organ. But jirmuhu saghir wa jurmuhu kabir. The tongue, the size is very small, but the offense of the tongue is kabir. The crime that it commits is kabir. Lends a person, sometimes Allah Pak save us, he utters words of kufr, lends him into the fire of Jahannam forever and forever. And obviously, if it is used in a proper manner with the shahada and with the proper belief in the heart, it lends him into paradise forever and forever. So among the guidelines in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the proper use of the tongue, one very strange aspect is we find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advises us about not using it unnecessarily. Don't use the tongue unnecessarily, and great virtues are mentioned. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us in one hadith, man samata naja, the person that remains silent, he is successful. In other words, the person that does not speak unnecessarily, whether it is to the wife and children, whether it is to your friends, unnecessarily a person does not speak, then he is successful. Another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, مقام الرجل بالسمت أفضل من عبادة 60 سنة أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. The rank of a person of silence who does not speak unnecessarily is better than worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 60 years. What is mentioned here is optional and nafil salat, nafil worship of Allah. Person that remains silent, imagine such a great ibadat that is better than a person worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 60 years. The rank of that person is higher than that person that worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 60 years just for remaining silent and not speaking. Another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appeals to us and says, Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyakun khayran aw liyasmut. The person that believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the last day. Other words, among the demands of your iman, person that has iman, then what befits that person? When it's hadith mentioned like this, that the person that believes in Allah in the last day means that the demand or the dictates of your iman demands from you, the iman dictates to you that you should not carry out or should carry out the action that is being mentioned, فَلْيَكُنْ خَيْرًا, then he should speak good. Person that has iman, does not behove him to speak anything that is not good, أَوْ لِيَسْمُتْ. If he cannot speak good, then what is the other option? Rasulullah s.a.w. says, أَوْ لِيَسْمُتْ, then he should remain silent. If he has no good words to share with people around him, then remain silent. This is the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructing us here, if you are a mu'min, believe in Allah in the last day, then say good things, and if you do not have good things to say, then keep quiet and remain silent. Yet in another hadith we find great virtues of this action of remaining quiet. Imagine how strange, just to control a person's speech and not to speak brings him and earns him great amount of reward. And we find, we envy such people. There are so many people we find in the society sometimes that hardly speak. They are people of few words. They don't speak unnecessarily. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make me and all of us from amongst those people who do not speak unnecessarily. And they think and ponder before they speak. They weigh their speeches and their words that come out. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, Abu Zar radiallahu anhu, in one place, words to this effect, that I'm telling you of two things that are not difficult and hard for people to do. And yet, they are extremely weighty and heavy on the scales. There are two actions that I'm telling you about that are not difficult for people to do, and yet they are very extremely heavy and weighty on the scales. One of them is good morals and good character, and the other one is to usually remain silent. In other words, not to speak unnecessarily. Not to speak unnecessarily, this silence also will be weighed on the day of judgment on the scales, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us it will be most heaviest. Good morals, good akhlaq, and this remaining silent and speech will be most heavy on the scales in the day of judgment. What an easy action, Allah Pak, give me and all of us the tawfiq to carry it out. Rasulullah says also it's not difficult to carry out. It's more difficult to speech. A person has to think of words, etc., suitable sentences, and to remain silent is absolutely easy. And especially when the tongue is surrounded here by the lips and surrounded by teeth, etc., person has to make no effort, just keep it in that original position and do not speak and remain silent. Further, we find Rasulullah tells us also to control the tongue. Tongue should be controlled, and Rasulullah tells us that the tongue do not speak with such things that you will be remorseful and regretful about tomorrow, meaning on the day of judgment. On the day of don't indulge your tongue in such things that tomorrow you feel sorry about, that, oh, I should have not said these words. Here these words are going against me. Some hadiths we understand, one hadith is mentioned that if a person sometime speaks something that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he's not even aware about it and he says something that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises his rank because of those words he says. And sometime a person says the word that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he's not even aware about it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts him into the fire of Jahannam for saying such a word. Some riwayats we understand that sometimes a person speaks a word of good and he does not know about the far-reaching consequences of that good word. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes for him the reward of that word right up to the day of judgment. Can you imagine? A good word he said and he's not even conscious about it. He does not know how far-reaching the consequences are. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in lieu of that good word that he had said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes for him and gives to his credit good word, reward right up to the day of judgment. And conversely also we find that sometimes a person says an evil word and he's not even aware of the consequence of that word. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes for him the azab right up to the day of judgment. So here we gather from this hadith, the speech and words that come out of our mouth should be something that we should be extremely careful about. Extremely careful as to what we say and how we say and what is the contents of the words that we say. One person, Hazrat Sufyan bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu, comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asks him. The companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their questions were very strange. Their questions, if you look in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were very strange. We can make out the theme or what was the basis of this question. It was the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was the zeal in their hearts to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They want to know, what are those things that bring us close to Allah? What are those things that take us away from Him? What are those things, O Prophet of Allah, that are most rewarding? What are those things, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that are most sinful? So here we find the Sahabi comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asks him a strange question. He says, O Prophet of Allah, ma akhwafa ma takhafu alayya. What is the thing that you fear most for me? What is the thing that you fear most for me? That will be bad for me, that will be harmful for me, that will be destructive for me. What is the thing that you fear? It says Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَأَخَذَ بِيَدِهِ بِلِسَارِ نَفْسِهِ وَقَالَ هَذَا. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his Mubarak hands, he took hold of his own tongue, Mubarak tongue, and he said this. This is what I fear most for you. What I fear most for you. And if you think and realize, when it comes to using our hands or using our limbs, etc., then we find there's some effort. But when it comes to using the tongue or abusing the tongue, we find a person doesn't think. And the tongue is such an organ, just thinking, such an organ that you never find that my tongue is tired. Your hands can be tired, your feet can be tired, your mind can get fatigued. But you find the tongue just continues and continues and continues. You can use it sometime. A person is backbiting and gossiping for hours. He's talking fruitful and useless things for hours. He engages in there. Does not get tired. Does not tire him. Continues and he continues. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, the thing that I fear most for you is your tongue. Once Hazrat Abu Umar radiallahu anhu had come to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and he found Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu taking hold of his tongue and pulling his tongue. He said, Ma, stop, Allah has forgiven you, what are you doing? Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, Inna haza awradani al mawarid. This has taken me to many places of destruction. This tongue of mine has taken me to many places of destruction. I have said many things that will destroy me because of this tongue. So here it is a very small organ. But we find that the effect of the small organ is very, very serious and very far-reaching. We had mentioned one of the abuses of the tongue is backbiting. We had mentioned detail about how destructive this is. And we find that there are so many others, afatul lisan, there are so many other afats and musibats and calamities of the tongue, abusing somebody, swearing somebody, using vulgar language, this is using disrespectful words for somebody, and slandering somebody. Person didn't do anything, but you start talking about him, he has done certain thing, you accuse people, etc. The way the words sometimes come out are so harsh and so hard that break the heart. As I mentioned, sometimes they are so soft and sweet that mends the heart. Sometimes they are so hard and harsh that break the heart. And those hearts that are broken, then we find that they are not cured. There's a nice saying in Arabic which is mentioned that jarahatul sinane laha iltiyamun wala yultamu ma jarahal lisan. That the wounds that are afflicted by the arrows and swords, etc., they heal. There comes a time when they heal, and a person won't even know that I had a cut here or was hurt here. But those wounds of the tongue, laysa laha wa ma jaraha al-lisan, la yultamu ma jaraha al-lisan. The tongue that has hurt somebody, that does not heal. That takes years. Sometimes a person says, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, these are the words that a person said to me. These were the harsh words that broke my heart. And we find that sting of those evil words remain for a long time to come. So here, one of the signs of the pious is first this, that a person does not abuse his tongue. He speaks in a manner that is completely conforms to the order of Allah. And his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah Allah ta'ala tells us, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. Speak nicely and kindly to the people. We had mentioned, imagine, Fir'aun on one side, and Musa alayhi salam going to Fir'aun. And they also, Allah ta'ala tells him, قُولَ لَهُ قَوْلَ اللَّيِّنَا. Speak to him softly, kindly, and gently to show how we should be speaking and how we should be addressing the people around us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me first the tawfiq. We tend to lose ourselves, especially in a time of anger, in the time when a person is irritated because of some reason. We don't realize how we are speaking. And especially when it comes to our subordinates, they say this anger and abuse also is very clever. And a person does not speak rudely to a person sometimes elder than him. But when it comes to a young person, a small child before him, or a student, or it comes to the wife, etc., his anger is for something else, but it comes into the home, little realizing that this is also the bandi and servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I have to address here, when Allah ta'ala tells us, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنَى, tell all the people, speak good to all the people. وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ لِيهِ أَحْسَنْ, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell my servant that he must say things that are good and things that are the best, things that will not hurt the feelings of people around him. And what about those people that are so closely associated? The wife, the children, the workers, the friends, associates, etc. They need an added favor. They should be speaking to more kindly and more gently and with more love and affection and more consideration than anyone else. Yet we find when this abuse takes place, it is commonly found in the people that are so close to us. And yet we find the speech of the pious people is good to all. Those people that even abuse them, that talk evil to them, that swear them, that assault them and insult them, to them also they speak kindly. وَقُلْ اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي أَحْسَنْ, that ward off that evil with good. With good, whether it is good action, whether it is good action or whether it is good speech, here all is included. Person does evil to you and me in a manner that he abuses us, he swears us, etc. We should speak good about that person or retaliate with something that's even better. And this will result in bringing about the peace and harmony and love between the people that was, there is enmity. اِدْفَى بِالَّتِي أَحْسَنْ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. What will be the consequence of doing good in the face of evil when one side evil is, and on the other side is met with good and kindness and affection? Then, فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. That person between you and him, there is enmity. But what will happen? You will become close and bosom friends, and you will become very affectionate and close friends by you retaliating in this manner or by you behaving in this manner. Another aspect also of their speech is this: they only speak those things that are truthful and those things that are true. Irrespective of the circumstances that are surrounding them, whether it is outwardly to their detriment, they only speak the truth. They speak nothing but the truth. This is a sign of the pious. Reminds me of a story Mawlana Sayyid Khan Sahib Rahmatullah mentioned many, many years ago about one person who was extremely pious, and he had run down one person while he was driving. And when it came, it was reported to the police that little child had died. And that person, the matter was taken to court, and the lawyer had come to him and told him that you will have to say what I will have to say. You will have to say what I'm going to tell you now. He says, no, that does not happen. Does not work with me, because I have to say what happened. I will have to say the truth, and I will not have to say what you have to say. Otherwise, due respect to the lawyers, this lawyer was teaching him a story to save himself, to save his life. And he told him, do you know the consequence of what's going to happen? He says, that I'm not worried about, as long as I'm going to be speaking the truth. He went into the courts and he was asked what happened. And he told him the true story, that I have come down here with my truck or van, etc., and I knocked down this child. They asked him, they cross-examined him, and he stuck to the story. And they told him, do you know the consequence of what you are saying? He said, yes. They told him, this, the consequence of what you are saying is this, that you will be put into jail for life or you will be hanged, etc. He said, irrespective of what you are saying, but what I am saying is the truth. They said the people around him decided that this person is not in a frame of mind. He seems to be insane. They put him away for a while. And thereafter, after a few days or few months, etc., they called him again. And he gave exactly the same speech. Mawlana Rahmatullah mentions that those people were convinced there is something really wrong with this person. He's so frankly and openly telling them, explicitly explaining the reality, and so to say, putting himself into the jaws of death or putting himself into the doors of the prison for life. He said, no, there is something definitely wrong with this person, and they discharged him. Mawlana Rahmatullah mentioned there that, see, this is the effect of the truth. The person spoke the truth. With the barakat of saying the truth, those people let him go free. So here, one other sign is the people say nothing but the truth, irrespective of what is the circumstances around them or what the consequences will be. Pious person and a person that is upright. And so many incidents like this we find. That incident of the great alim, where to make a decision between the Hindus and the Muslims as to whose land this is. There was a controversy regarding the land, and he was called into the courts. And they said, the Jews, even the Hindus accepted, that if this person testifies that it is not our land, we will accept. When he came to the courts and was asked, he gave the decision in favor of the Hindu people around him. He mentioned those people accepted the kalima la ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, and donated that land to the Muslims and gave it to the Muslims and said, you may continue and build a masjid. So the truth also has an effect. It is the haq. قُلِ الْحَقُّ وَلَوْ مُرٌّ, say the truth even if it is bitter. So this is something that we should be accustomed to and accustom our wives and children and family also. We have come across this every day. The child says he had a headache and the letter says we went to town. The parent signs the letter to say he went to town, and the child says, no, I was in bed, I had a headache. One of them is definitely lying. Sometime when you cross-examine the child, says, yes, I had a headache, but I went to town. In other words, he reconciled between the two to say, I am also right, and my parents are also right. So here sometimes we are the people that lead our children to falsehood. And when they speak lies to us, it's not acceptable to us. So one of the signs of the people that are pious is to speak the truth at all times, irrespective of the consequences. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that also in the Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu kunu qawwamina lillahi shuhada bil qist. We should stand up for justice and establish justice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one, and there's one more sign of the pious people. It's a very lengthy subject, has been controlling or has been prolonged for a very long time. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me all the reality, even if one or two qualities come into our lives, for example, saving our tongues, that can transform our lives and bring us close to piety. Another thing of caution here is, or worth mentioning is, we know the holidays have started. And when the holidays start, our little children that go to schools become completely free. Completely free. Some of them have planned, some of them have no plans whatsoever. Yesterday, upon inquiring from the children, some says, I have nothing to do for the whole holidays. When he has nothing to do, very, very simply and easily he can fall into something that is evil, that is wrong, that is bad, that is against the obedience of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, looking at the environment. Some of them had said, we will help our parents and in our shops. Some of them said, we will be going on a holiday to a certain place, etc. Respective of wherever they're going, they are our responsibility. While they were at school, maybe they were engaged in some activity. Now when they have no activity, we should be extra vigilant to see how our children spend these days. Some of them make it holy days and go out, spend it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the spiritual upliftment, which is a very, very way, good way and constructive way in the, under the vigilant and watchful eye of the experienced ulama kiram and people that go out. They look at those children, they train them, they guard them, and they secure them and save them from sinning and the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At least one of three things we could do, which our pious elders mentioned. One is to ensure that the child remains in our company, whether it is in the shop and under our watchful eye. This is the ideal situation, but it may not be possible for everyone. The second thing that we ought to do is to see that the child is engaged and busy in some activity. Some form of activity he is busy in, whether he's helping at home, whether he's constructing something at home, doing some facility, doing some works at home, etc., or something under your watchful eye or in the office, etc., around you. Doing something, is engaged in something that's permissible. This will keep him away. Empty mind is the devil's workshop. It will save him away from all the evils. And the third thing, which is extremely important here in our circumstances, because every child is our child, is my child and your child, every child. And every child is a good child. This is our belief regarding the child. But what happens? The environment is not good. The people around the environment are not good. They are very evil and destructive elements in the environment. That is why when a child falls into the wrong company, then the parent is the last person to believe that my son has, could have done such a thing because I brought him up in such a nice manner. It is not your son. It is the evil of the environment. So the third thing is to do is to ensure that they're in good company, to ensure that the people that they join are righteous people, upright people, are children with good habits and good morals, so they do not fall into evil. Tomorrow that child is brought up for 20 years or 15 years in a good environment. He falls, he comes into the company of a person that's evil, very, very quickly, sometime within 2 or 3 days, we find that person's mindset, his values, etc., his concepts change, and that good boy becomes a boy and a dropout and a fallout and becomes a detriment to all of people in the society. Why? Because we were not watchful as far as his friends were concerned. So these are at least three things that we do. Keep them in our company as far as possible. Secondly, see that they are engaged in good activities. And thirdly, to see that they are under the watchful eyes, that they are in good company, in good companionship. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq.